I'm going to depart from what we've been taking a look at on Sunday afternoons, just to come back and be reminded of some things that are good for us to be reminded of. As our brother led us in the songs, it was made apparent again how it is that we sing about this very often. And may the Lord help us that we sing with our understanding and we pay attention to the words and that. We can. It's just our nature. We can certainly sing by rote. We sing the song. We don't think about the words that we're singing. We need to think about the words that we're singing, and we need to think about, as we sing, the commitment that we're making in them. We need to think about and muse and consider about the things that we say in glorification and praise to the Lord and that. And we also ask for our Lord's help, and we tell about Him in songs. And so let us sing with our understanding. First song that our brother led us in was Send the Light. Send the Light. And we're very familiar with that song. I've sung it all my life. Just caught one phrase out of that. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. We can. We certainly can grow weary. We can, you know, the Lord tells us in the Gospels, He says, don't be overtaken with surfeiting. We can get overwhelmed by life. And let me tell you, depending on what phase of life you're in, there can be a lot of life that's going on that can just take in, just seemingly swallow you whole. It's just that way, but we don't need to be overcome with that. When we are overcome with that, we need to ask our Lord to help us with it. And realize that is a distractor. We may not be able to be relieved about what's required of us or what aspect of life is upon us. We may not be able to be relieved of that, but we can certainly go to our Lord for the help that we need to endure in it. And we need to be praying for ourselves in that regard and praying for one another. Send the light. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. The other song, the second song, was more about Jesus. More about Jesus, to learn more about Jesus. And one phrase in there, to learn more about Jesus, more of His love who died for me. That we would understand about it and that we would exhibit it. More about Jesus. More of His love who died for me. And then the last song that Brother Bobby led us in, I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story in different aspects and ones that they like to, that the writer of the song pointed out that we would like to tell the story too. I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. Of Jesus and His love. You know, if we are not, as the Lord's children, living in the love of our Lord, we're certainly not going to pass it on to anyone else. But we are called to pass it on to others. We're called to love one another and to love sinners, and to be a people that's full of love. And and every person that we meet, every person in our lives, we are to be manifesting the love of our Lord. Send the light, not grow weary in the work of love. More about Jesus, more of His love who died for me. I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. We were talking about it, and I wonder about these young fellas and how are they going to remember we who are older, and talking about the affairs of life and the things that we're frustrated with our government and our society and culture. How will they remember us, or will they come to a time that they'll be doing the same thing in their day and remember about how it was with us when we had these situations and this frustration with this madness that's going on in our country and in our world, in our state. And we can let those things overwhelm us. But the only answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't need to check out from what our calling is. And that's easy for me to say, but that is what we're called to do. Think about it. You know, in a sense, the country is burning down. And the Lord can help us, but the country's burning down. And while we need to be a good witness of the Lord, if we're wrapped up in the things of our life so much that we don't shine for the Lord, then what answer or help is there? And I'm preaching to myself. But that may the Lord help us in that. Our time to shine is always, and certainly our time to shine is when things are difficult in the world and bad in the world in which we live. I invite you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. Let's just take a look at two passages here and take them and put them together that we might be reminded, that we might be encouraged and remember about what our brother, the songs our brother led us in, and some of those phrases from those songs, little snippets from those songs about what they speak about, and in that, what we, in singing them, what we commit to. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So there's this picture of this vineyard, and the Father is the husbandman that's tending to the vine, and Jesus is that vine. And so, you know, it's good to know the order. It's good to know our place. We will be helped when we know our place. And that the thing is with the Lord, that's not a derogatory thing to know your place. You know, we can use that like in a caste system like India. You better know your place, or there'll be those that'll straighten you out and put you in your place. The Lord's not that way about it. We do have our place, and that place, to be found in that place, is a blessing. It's not an oppression by any means. The Father's the husbandman. The Lord Jesus is the true vine. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So we need to be branches that bear fruit, don't we? Every branch that it beareth fruit, he purgeth it. You know, to get pruned, I don't think would be pleasant. Pruning is meaning stuff's get cutting away. It's profitable. Pardon me, it's good. Pruning, purging, has an outlook for the future, doesn't it? And that's something that when I the Lord helped me to understand it. Lord helped me to put it to use. But what you and I are going through now is preparation for what's next. Mark it down. It's preparation for what's next. And the Lord knows about it. He knows about it indeed. Every branch that beareth fruit, so it's a profitable branch, he purgeth it, he prunes it back, that it may bring forth more fruit. And how it will be that we would bear more fruit, only the Lord knows. But we need to be looking for opportunity and pursuing to bear fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And of course, we don't hear our Lord speak audibly with these physical ears, but we do if we avail ourselves to the word. By reading it, by listening to it, we do hear our Lord speaking to us, we who are saved. And it is by that word that we are cleansed. And we need to know his word and what he has said. I've said this here before. A good picture of what we are is like a sieve. We're like a sieve, like a strainer, like a fine colander. And the water doesn't stay in there long if you run water through a colander or a sieve. But you know what? Keep on pouring that water in there, and what it'll do with that colander, that sieve, it'll clean it up. And that's what we need. We need that steady flow of the word of our Lord, hearing him, listening to him. Because he says in verse number 4, abide in me. That is to live in. We abide in our abode, right? We abide in our abode. We're to abide in Christ, to live in him. Lord, what do you have in store for me today? Lord, how will you have me to speak today? How will you have me to go? How will you have me to represent you? He says, abide in me and I in you. And we've seen that in recent times about the Spirit of the Lord living in us. Do we want to stiff-arm the Lord and he living in us? And not that we can put him out as his children, but I tell you what, by our thinking and by our behavior and by our pursuits, we can certainly quench the Spirit and grieve the Spirit, can't we? Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You know, a branch just hanging out there in midair is just has nothing, right? No nourishment. No directive to grow. You think about a branch, you know, and that's impossible, right? But for a branch coming off of the stem, coming off of the vine, if there is no vine there, if there is no root there, what can the branch do? Not a thing. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. Verse 4, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. We must live in him to be profitable. I encourage each one of us to take a survey of our lives. How profitable are we for our Lord? How profitable are you for your Lord? We need to be continually asking ourselves that. How profitable am I for my Lord? Yesterday is gone. And this morning and this afternoon is gone. However we used it, it's been done. Tomorrow, barring the Lord Jesus coming back and the Lord giving us life and blessing us with life, tomorrow lies ahead. This afternoon and this evening lies ahead. How will we use that for our Lord? We need to abide in him. We need to abide in the vine. And we cannot produce unless we abide in him. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And that's what when I look and undertake to do without the Lord, that's what I end up with is nothing. Same thing for you. Without him, we can do nothing. You know, and this isn't a thing that we can turn on or turn off, okay? Today, I'm not going to abide in the vine. I'm just going to do this one on my own. You know what? You'll have a mess. You'll have a mess. Today, I'm going to abide in the vine. You know what will happen? If we have times and hours and moments and days that we don't abide in the vine and we'd say, well, I'm going to take it up to abide in the vine today. You know what? Because of the coldness of this over here, it'll be hard seemingly to get back to where we were over here abiding in the vine. The path back is always longer than the path away. It's just that way. Much fruit, without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, and if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into a fire, and they are burned up. Do you want to be a castaway? Do you want to be a child set on a shelf? Do you want to take of your life and take it and for the Lord Jesus Christ, essentially take it and throw it away? If we pursue our own way and don't abide in the vine, we will. We need to abide in him. It's the only way that we can bear fruit. If you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you. Again, there's back to his word. We need to hear him and see him. We need washed with that water of the word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. There's that communion and fellowship, and we our fellowship is sweet with our Lord because we're abiding in him. We're feeding and listening to him in his word. We desire his word for the decisions, the confrontations, the troubles, the blessings that we have. And if we have a need, we can take it to him. Oh, yeah, he already knows what the need is. But you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. There's fellowship there. He cares for us. Would you say, indeed, that he wants to provide for us? He wants to provide for us. I mean, but only in things that glorify him. Herein is my Father glorified. So remember the husbandman? The husbandman is glorified that you bear much fruit. Well, yeah, you know, if you have a garden this year and you had a lot of fruit, you know, it's the Lord has blessed, and that is to your credit. I mean, you went and you cultivated, you planted, you nurtured, you watered. The Lord blessed it. The Lord gave the increase. But the production of a garden is to the credit of the one that planted it and tended to it. Well, certainly this is the case here. The husbandman tending to the branches coming out of the vine, it's to his credit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. The bearing of fruit signifies, indicates, shows forth that those branches are the followers of the Lord. Do you want to be known as a follower of the Lord? Are we embarrassed for it to be known that we're a follower of Jesus? We need to have our perspective and our pursuit correct, that we might glorify our husbandman, our Father, and glorify our vine, our Savior. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And how has Jesus loved us? With an everlasting love, with a self-sacrificing love, with a love that is far and above any other love that's known. With the greatest of love is how he has loved us. And that's the way the Father loves the Son. There is no separating them. You know, that was the turmoil that was created or caused by the Lord telling that he was this only begotten Son of the Father, and that they said him, he made himself equal with God. And they saw the Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, scribes, all those guys, all those leaders, chief priests, that they said nobody is on that plane, but he is. And the Father loved him, and he said as much. And he says so here, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. The love of the Father to the Son has been displayed and has been directed towards us by the Son. And what's he say? Continue ye in my love. Keep on in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. I mean, that's how we really show about our love, is if we are found obedient, isn't it? Obedient, that the word hearkening, to hear what the master says, and then to take that and apply that to our lives. Well, where am I off? Where do I need to get back on? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. We keep his commandments because we love him. And by keeping his commandments, we're right there in the center of his will and his way and found in his love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, did Jesus, did the vine, did he keep the Father's commandments 98.8% of the time? No, he did it all the time, didn't he? Still does. Never has failed to keep the Father's commandment. Well, you and I, we need to pursue that. We know we have trouble with this flesh and the mortification, the need for mortification thereof, the old man that is here on us that's dead and hanging on the new man. But that needs to be our goal and our pursuit. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. Here's our example, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus was joyful in coming and obeying the Father as a man, wasn't he? Indeed, he was. Tells us in Hebrews, right? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. The joy of rescuing his own and bringing us to the house, bringing us to the family and to the household of God. He was joyous over that. Well, he wants us, and his design for us is that we might be filled with that joy. But you know what? If we're over here chasing and doing our own thing, there's going to be nothing but frustration there. Nothing will be there but a mess. And will we have joy? Oh, we might have sputs and spatters of happiness. appealing to the flesh. But joy in the Lord is only found by obeying the Lord Jesus. So we got to know what he says to obey it. We've got to believe it, that what he says, even as outlandish as it might sound to the flesh and to the world, we need to know it and we need to follow him in it. He follows the Father in it. He follows the husbandman in it, doesn't he? And he's telling us these things. I've spoken these things unto you. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, the joy that he has, might remain in you, and that your joy, the joy within us, would be full. Full. Joy that'll transcend physical death. Joy that'll transcend oppression and brutality and meanness and wickedness meted out on our own bodies. It's hard to have that grace before we would face such a time, but the Lord has promised that in that time he would give us the grace. But if we're not in a habit of walking with the Lord and abiding in him and feeding on his word and being mindful of how he wants us to live for him and shine for him and witness for him, and be a help one to another, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, how can we expect in a difficult time, in a pressing time, in a time when things of life that we've been used to all of our lives are ripped away, and we would still be found filled with the joy of the Lord and be full? It's only by experience now when it's easy. This is my commandment, that you love one another. So now he's spoken about the love. He's spoken about the love of the Father to him. And he's spoken about his love for us. He's loved us. And he's told us to continue in his love. And then the commandment. Yeah, we have some commandments, even from the Lord Jesus Christ. New Testament commandments. And that is that ye love one another as I have loved you. The way Jesus is loved, which is the way the Father loves him, is the way that we need to love one another. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, which Jesus indeed did for us. He laid down his life that we might live. And we need to be willing to lay down our lives one for another. It could be that it might be at a moment in time that we would lay down our physical lives one for another. Or maybe it's that in situations and circumstances and things that come about, that we'd be willing to give of our lives one for another. Sometimes we need stuff. Sometimes we need an arm. Sometimes we need provision. Sometimes we need a shoulder, or we need feet. Sometimes we need clothing. Sometimes we need companionship, empathy, sympathy. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, Abraham was called a friend of God, wasn't he? And he's a fine example for us to follow in. The Lord told him, go take your son and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. And Abraham said, in a few weeks, I'll go do that. He went and did it. He went and did it. And Lord, help us that we would do what the Lord has called us to do. He hasn't called us to go sacrifice our children on Mount Moriah, but he has called us to be a living sacrifice for his sake. If you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I'll call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, to be a friend of the Lord. For all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you. And he has. We've got it right here in this book, this wonderful book. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And we praise his name for that. That he has done such a thing, that he cared for us even before the foundation of the world. And he says to the disciples, I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. They in particular to be the apostles and to be the ones that would be that foundation, with Jesus being the cornerstone of this future, the forward movement and following the commission in this work that the Lord had given to his church. And we at Olmsted Baptist Church are a result of that. We are one of those houses. We are one of those buildings. We are one of those temples here on earth. He says, I've told you, I've called you. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. They in particular to their work, we in particular to our work, and that your fruit should remain. How is it we're celebrating our 65th anniversary here at Olmsted Baptist Church? And you know, there is fruit that remains from those that have been here in the church years and decades before. How will it be that our fruit remain? You know, I've been thinking about this, and it's just, you know, there's with our culture being the way that it is, and it's said about more recent generations, that more recent generations are geared to giving on par with what they can get. And if there's nothing that they can get, then they're not willing to give. My generation, maybe a generation or so after me, it was part of our culture, and certainly needs to be part of our church, that we're willing to give. I'm not blowing my own horn. I'm just saying this is something that culturally is going on in our nation and in our world, to give beyond what you can get. And I'm thankful for you that are willing to give beyond what you can get, that you're willing to stay in the ministries of the church, even though you may not have someone right there in there that would benefit from that ministry. You're still willing to stay in it. That's the way that we need to be. We need to look at this as the work of the church and what the Lord's called us to, and not just for what we can get, or us or our own can get. Fruit that will remain. That whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And so there, being found in that place of obedience, being found in that place of following the Lord, being his friend, being obedient to him and hearkening him, he's promised he will provide. That ye, whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Do we need help? We do. We need strength? We do. Do we need encouragement? We do. Do we need sympathy? Yeah, we need sympathy sometimes. We need sympathy. And our Lord is pitiful indeed, and he knows how we feel in every respect. Again, we can only empathize with our Lord Jesus. We can always sympathize with us. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And so love. Let us not grow weary in the work of love, we sang. More of his love who died for me, to know about that and share that. Love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. And quickly over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's take a look about what love is. And this isn't just being a friend. This isn't just being courteous and nice, but this is speaking about an abundance of love poured out. And this is what our Lord, this is the description of what our Lord has done for us and how it should be with us. And let's read here quickly, just to be reminded of these things. Paul writes, though I speak with the tongues of men, in 1 Corinthians 13, and of angels, and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So I can speak languages. I can speak languages of men and the languages of angels. But if I don't have love, agape love, I am become a sounding brass, a brass percussion instrument, or a tinkling cymbal. There's another one. Maybe that sounding brass we could see as a horn. And we don't want to do that, do we? We just don't want to be a noisemaker, do we? You know, it's that a noisemaker is one that talks about love but doesn't do anything with about regarding love, right? And though I have the gift of prophecy, maybe this would be one's bent. I know the word of God and understand all mysteries. There's a study of the mysteries that the Lord has in his scripture, that the mysteries that he has, that he reveals in his scripture. Several mysteries have been revealed unto us. So you got that down. You know the word of God and you understand all mysteries. You got all knowledge. You can remember the scripture and got it in you. And though I have not all, and though I have all faith, even in the Lord, faith in the Lord, not misplaced, but faith in the Lord, so that I could remove mountains. Remember what Jesus said? If you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, got that much faith to move that mountain. If I have not charity, I am nothing. A big zero. Zero. And again, this is love and obedience to the Lord. This isn't what we call love where our children cross us, and we do love them, but our children cross us, and they've disobeyed us. Maybe they've this is like the umpteenth million time they've disobeyed us in this same thing, and then we get on them, and we say, don't do that again, and then we move on. That's not, or maybe they get too hard to deal with. It's just too inconvenient to deal with them, and we just let it slip. Or maybe there's been a rule that we've established as a parent, and they press. So, okay, this one time I'll let it slide. That's not what this is talking about. This is love to tell the truth. This is love to hold to the truth. If it doesn't need to be done, it doesn't need to be done all the time. If it does need to be done, it needs to be done when it's appropriate and when it's right for it to be done. We don't want to be have a false understanding of love. We're going to see that here. But say we could speak well, have all the knowledge of God. Without love, we're nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, how about this aspect of martyrdom? And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, have not this agape, this abundance, this love feast of love, it profiteth me nothing. It's no advantage before the Lord. Charity, the love, agape love of the Lord suffereth long. And that's what Jesus has done with us, isn't it? It's kind. And he has been kind to us. It doesn't envy. It doesn't get jealous. Charity doesn't. It doesn't get jealous of another. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not over here broadcasting how much it's loving and to get noticed. It's not puffed up. Charity does not have any aspect of pride in it. Does not behave itself unseemly. Charity and love never leads to sin. Charity seeketh not her own, but what's it seek? It always seeks the benefit and blessing of the other. Charity, you can't make love mad real easy. Anger is not a part of that. Charity doesn't get over there and think vengeance. A retribution, getting back, thinketh no evil, no lashing out. Charity doesn't think about those things. Charity never celebrates sin, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but charity always rejoices in the truth. The truth is what makes us free, Jesus says in John chapter 8. And love, the love of the Lord, the love wherewith he has loved us, and the love that we need to have one towards another, never rejoices in iniquity or sin, but always rejoices in the truth. Charity gets up under there, and it carries everything, all things. Charity believes all things, is always there to give the benefit of the doubt. Charity, love of our Lord, love with legs on it, hopeth all things. And I know I have fault in all of these, but I tell you what, my hoping well in all things is lacking. It's just easy to go to the negative, isn't it? It's just easy to go to the negative. But you know what? While there's life and while there's the Lord, and while there's a possibility, we need the hope. We need to pray and we need to hope that the Lord will get in the middle of a thing to take it and glorify himself in it. But I, granted, as I preached here last Sunday, right? We're pretty weak, aren't we? We are weak. We are. I mean, I have faced things in my life and faced things as a pastor, and I just say over and over again, I don't know what to do. I just do not know what to do. I don't know how I can affect what needs to be affected to take this thing and put it on a good way and a good path for this person or this situation or for whatever's at hand. But the Lord can. And I need to go to him believing that he can and asking him to do so and trusting that he will. Not to pray in a lack of faith. But love hopes all things. And love endures all things. The love of the Lord, charity, agape love, a love feast, an abundance of love never faileth. And our Lord has not failed us, has he? But you know what will fail? It's kind of a touch and a reference before. Where there be prophecies, they shall fail. They'll get completed. They'll come to their end. They'll be done. Their time will be past. It'll be a memory. There's hope for the prophecy to come to pass. But once it's fulfilled, that blessing is at hand, and then it's done. Whether there be tongues, that gift of languages that the Lord gave to the first church, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Men come and men and women live and learn and know, and then we die. And unless we've passed it on to push that fruit on down the road that and others receive it. You know, we pray that there'll be a people that the Lord will raise up here, that this church would continue beyond our time if the Lord tarries his coming. And what are you and I doing to accomplish that? May the Lord help us in that. For we know in part, indeed, we prophesy in part, that is true. But when that which is perfect, that which is mature is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. See, love, the love of the Lord stands as the root and the genesis for every blessing of his. One day, we're going to be with our Lord. And the cares and the tribulation and the trial and the turmoil of this life will be just like a half a memory. He says here, and he speaks to our call to maturity in these things. Do you want to know what the calling of the Lord and the heavy duty doctrine and teaching of the Lord is? You want to know and get down right down to the nitty gritty of living for the Lord, for his honor and glory and his service, and what the weightiest thing is? It's this. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, right? You remember that? That's the way we were. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. To grow up in our Lord and to be like our Lord Jesus, to hear how our Lord Jesus is and to take that and put that on and pursue that. That is the calling. That is the challenge. That is the high doctrine, if you will, to be like Jesus. Because we've got a great obstacle in being like Jesus, this old flesh. and this world that just yells and screams at us. We need to put away the childish and pull to us and draw near to the things that the Lord gives us to grow up. For now we see through a glass darkly, but ultimately then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. One day we'll be with our Savior, and we will be that child of God that we want to be, and we won't have any lacking in our love then. But right now, we need to press toward that mark. We need to grow up and love. Love our Lord, love one another, and love the sinner. Because see, what abides now? The three things that abide for the maturing child of God: faith in the Lord, hope in the promises that He's given us, just like Jesus laid it out over there in John 15, amongst others, and this thing of an abundance of love. Faith, hope, and love. These three are the things that abide presently, but the greatest of these is love. Charity. Charity, love with legs on it, for our Lord, for one another, and for a lost and dying world. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us in these things, and all me with you to be reminded of this. We must abide in our Lord Jesus. Consider often the love of our Father to the Savior and the Savior to us, and may we be like Him. I don't need to be like Jim. I don't need to be like Jim. I need to be like Jesus. You don't need to be like you. You need to be like Jesus. May the Lord help us in that. It's good to see each one of you this afternoon, and glad that you came, and thankful that we can meet together to worship one another, worship our Lord together, and fellowship one with another. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need Him. We point you to Him. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in Him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to a destination that matters. Amen. Isn't that the truth? He's the only path that leads to a blessing, an eternal blessing. He's the truth. Everything else is a lie, but Jesus is the truth. And there is not life in any other but Him. You know, this world, this judge, the leaders of our nation, that they think that they're pursuing life and they're just as free as they can be. The thing is what's happened, what's going on with them is they're so locked up and bound up by sin and iniquity that the darkness and the blindness just has them totally, totally blind to the truth and the way of the Lord. And it's pitiful. I mean, it is pitiful. Before the Lord saved us, that's where we were. Capable of the same things and worse. And if you're here and you're not saved, that's the shape that you're in. You need the Lord Jesus. We point you to Him.